This Thursday, right after chapel, we are having a church ministry fair. So we're having a group of churches. They're coming to visit us and sharing ministry opportunities available for you. So once you leave chapel, we encourage you to go and visit all the booths here at Horner Hall that will be visiting us. So please take advantage of that. And real quickly, we have an announcement from our student government president, James, and he'll give a quick update, then we'll continue the program. Give it up for James.
Good morning, guys. Hope everyone's doing all right. Hope your semester's kicking off. Just a real quick update about SGA. So the freshmen are the only ones that are going to be having an election this year. Every other position ran unopposed, meaning, you know, there was two seats for the sophomores, junior, senior, everyone. And so there was only two candidates for each classification. So I'm going to share with you, you see these folks, give them a congratulations, tell them, you know, what you want them to do for you in student government. But for the sophomores, we have Mr. Adunye, Nixon Thomas. I don't know where he's at. We all know Day-Day. Mariana Pena. And then for the juniors, we have Naomi Karanja and Parker Stilley. For the seniors, we have Ms. Kylie Parrish and Omar Rivera. For the graduates, we have Cody Cobb and John Crosdale, and our vice president-elect, Mr. Abel Hagos. So right after chapel, if you're a freshman and you didn't get my email, there's going to be a freshman candidate form right here in the chancellor's parlor. We're going to feed you lunch, and you'll get a chance to ask your candidates some questions, get to know them. So we look forward to that. But we're going to have another event coming up here pretty soon where you'll get to meet your representatives and kind of have a town hall, if you will, and kind of be able to raise some issues and raise some dialogue in that forum. So look forward to that. We just look forward to being able to serve the student body here at Criswell. We're excited for that. On the 26th is our first meeting, and that's when we get to business. So we're excited for that. But thank you guys, and have a good chapel.
Good morning, and if you're visiting this morning, welcome. My name's Christopher Graham. I'm the Vice President of Academic Affairs here at the college. It's fallen to me at my request, by the way, to introduce our speaker. And I'm going to give you three facts about our speaker, Neil Tomba, and the insight I bring to those facts is someone who knows him personally. First, Neil has many accolades and accomplishments in his life. He's a graduate of LSU, a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary. Don't amen that. I heard one amen. It must have been Neil. He's been married to Vila for 36 years, and they have a growing family with three adult daughters. So those are the facts. Let me tell you what I know. I can tell you, having known Neil personally, I'm pretty sure he would say that these accomplishments in his life are because of the gracious, gripping, good, guiding hand of God in his life. Amen. And so he would amen to that. Second, Neil is a decent bicyclist. You don't have to know Neil long to question my adjective decent. The website, neiltomba.com, was created for the ride he took this summer from California to Maryland, and I'm not going to take the wind out of his sails. I'm sure he's going to talk about that ride. But he did so, and he'll talk about this as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. The website says this, quote, Neil is an avid cyclist. He's competed in many races, including the 207-mile Dirty Kanza, the Leadville Trail 100 MTB. If you're in Dallas, you can find Neil riding around White Rock Lake most mornings. And that is the rub. That's why I use the word decent. Because for those of us who are runners at White Rock, we have a strained relationship with those who are on bicycles. So I may have wanted to say something like, Neil is a great bicyclist, but the only thing I could get out is decent bicyclist. But I'm willing to compromise and say this. Neil is a great man who happens to ride a bicycle. Third, and finally, since 2001, Neil has been the senior pastor at Northwest Bible Church. That's 9 miles from here at the corner of Northwest Highway and the Dallas North Tollway. And I would encourage you to visit their website, northwestbible.org, to find out about that congregation. Here's what I can tell you about knowing Neil personally. My family and I started attending Northwest Bible Church the same year he became senior pastor, and he was my pastor for 8 years. That was ordinary time in my life. For those of you who were in chapel last week, you know what I mean by ordinary time. Full-time seminary, full-time work, three small kids. I was discontent most of the time in my life. I was discontent at Northwest most of the time I was there. And I was discontent with Neil most of the time as well. But it was because of Neil's faithfulness as a pastor, his faithfulness to communicate the transforming word of God, his faithfulness to cultivate a congregation in which there could be healing, a faithfulness to prioritize the pursuit of truth and righteousness that God used him in his faithfulness to break through my self-righteous exterior in a way that didn't break my spirit, but drew me closer to Christ. That's who's preaching for us today. Let me pray for us. And so, Father, we give you this time. Once again, we have been doing so in our hearts up to this point, but we just stop and we pause and we say, this time is yours. And we are your vessels. And our prayer is that thy kingdom come, thy will be done today through us, in us, around us, as you would have it done. Use the time that we sing together to give you the praise you deserve, and use Neil as your servant to communicate what your Spirit has for us today in Christ and by the Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. May this moment here be a song of praise to the Lord our God. Amen. You know, Christopher, this has happened to me a few times now as I've gone to speak in some places. Jesus just spoils me with letting me be with friends. And it was good. It is good to see your face today. Even though this morning when I was out on my bike at 6, it happened at 6 a.m., it was really dark, and a runner with no lights on was in the middle of the road. Christopher, come on. I'm actually really thankful for Criswell College because our church is a beneficiary of the work of Jesus and the ministry here. There's a guy on our staff, I call him Oso Loco. How many here know Spanish? Can you translate Oso Loco for me? We'll see if I'm getting it right.
Crazy Bear.
Crazy Bear. Can I introduce y'all to Crazy Bear? Crazy Bear, would you stand up, please? Please. Y'all, this is Joel Mancini. Some of y'all know Joel, and Joel graduated from here. When, Joel? Last year? 2018. He came on our staff at 18 years old, and that's what they all say about him, you guys. And Joel and his wife, Ashley, we're so thankful to have them. He's our junior high leader. I think Joel's going to pass around a clipboard to look for some volunteers this morning. Do you not bring the clipboard, Joel? And Joel and I have actually been to Cuba together, and I will tell y'all, I want you to know Jesus can use you today. I watched Joel, and God, through Jesus, use him in the life of 10 men that are leading churches right now, training in a seminary, and we saw something that blew my mind. I'll leave it at that. Thank you, Joel, that you're here today. You are such an encouragement to me. So I want to talk about what I learned while riding my bike, this bike in particular, okay? And if y'all want to learn more about this, you can go to my website, as Christopher mentioned, or you can find me on Instagram. But I want to talk about what I learned while riding my bike, because 18 years ago, I had a dream. I had a dream of riding my bike across the country and doing the thing that I love to do when I'm on this ride, on this bike, besides run over runners, Christopher. The thing that I love to do is just talk to people, find out their story, what they value, and what's going on with them and the God we were just worshiping, and Jesus, the risen one. So I had this dream to go across the country and have conversations about Jesus and to document them. And so we're working on a book and a docu-series. And this morning I want to talk about what I learned while riding my bike from 1 Peter 3:15. So if you have a Bible with you this morning, I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 with me. Where Peter says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet you do it with gentleness and respect. Now, when I tell people that I had this dream of riding this bike 18 years ago, people ask me, hey, well, why now? Why after 18 years did you finally do it? So let me show you a picture of me in my costume. Now, y'all, do you know what you call that right there? A mammal. Who knows what a mammal is? It's a middle-aged man in Lycra, okay? That's what we call a mammal. And so I can't tell you that the reason I did it was I wanted to do it while I was still young, because I'm not. But here's what happened at our church. We did a survey. And it wasn't a survey to find out if people liked the preaching. Chris Frawley told you they liked the preaching. It wasn't a survey to find out if people liked the music. It was a survey to find out how are we doing in making disciples, and is there any big glaring thing that's missing? And here's what Northwest Bible Church 2 years ago confessed to each other. That although we are an incredibly generous church, although our church loves to take the gospel to Cuba, and Joel and I had people who were investing in us to get to go, and although we go to Africa and Asia and India, and that we have this Northwest Community Center in the Vickery Meadows area for refugees, I want to encourage you, if you want to kind of find out what's going on with refugees in our city, and see something that is unique in the United States, I want to invite you to come to our Northwest Community Center in Vickery. It's amazing, and our people are so generous to support it. But what we said is this, that the person who stands next to me when my kids are playing soccer, I don't talk to them about faith or Jesus. And one guy, one day, we were talking about this. He's worked at an oil company for 30 years. He's super respected. He could talk to anybody there about anything, and he just looks down at his plate and goes, I don't know why. I've never talked to anyone. You know, 1 out of 8 believers who regularly attend church on a Sunday morning talk about their faith maybe once a week, and that's often just in the confines of their home. So that's one of the reasons why now I wanted to do this. The second reason is just the battles going on in our country between Democrats and Republicans and this group of people and that group of people. And even in our own church, we have people who are on all kinds of sides of all kinds of issues, and people are afraid to talk to anybody. And you know, when we're not talking, we lose actually our ability and our language to talk about these things. And I really do consider it a privilege to talk to men and women here who, according to your president, because I asked him, why are students here? And he told me this, to train for careers where they are serving God. Praise the name of the Lord our God. And you are the next generation that gets to be a part of Jesus's great what? Commission. And right now, friends, it is becoming the great omission. See, part of my passion for this is when I was in college, my sophomore year in college, so some of you are sophomores here. I was going to the University of New Orleans, and I got kicked out of where I was living, so I went to the Harvard of the South, Louisiana State University, that I think might have beat Texas, and I didn't even want to mention any of that today. I go there, and there's a guy down the hall from me who is having conversations with me about Jesus. I remember the night I said in response to John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And I said, how can I refuse? And this guy was involved with CRU. Y'all familiar with CRU, okay? And there was a couple things I learned being involved with CRU. One, that successful witnessing is just going out there, taking the initiative, in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. I haven't forgotten that. Taking the initiative, power of the Holy Spirit, leaving the results to God. And I would say the one key, if there was a way to open doors, to have conversations with people, the one key in evangelism that I learned was you got to be bold, okay? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be bold. And we were having this spring break trip to Daytona Beach. I don't even know if they do it anymore, but I signed up for this spring break trip. And now you got to understand, at this point in my life, I'm a whopping 135 pounds, okay? So strip 30 pounds off me right now, and I'm pretty skinny, okay? And I'm there in my long, baggy swim shorts, and I'm on the beach, and I'm going to be bold, and I got a little yellow booklet in my hand, and I see this guy playing frisbee in the surf, and every time he went to throw his frisbee, it was an opportunity for him to flex his muscles. So here I am, 135 pounds, like I'm walking up to this dude. He looks at me. I said, have you ever made the wonderful discovery of knowing Jesus Christ personally? No, I haven't, and I really don't want to talk to you right now. So I drag myself to another part of the beach and thinking, wait a minute, the number one key is being bold, right? So I turn around. I got an idea. I walk back up to him. Kid you not. I walk back up to him, and I tap him on the shoulder. Hey, do you know the Bible says why you don't want to talk to me? And he didn't kill me. I'm here alive today to tell you what happened. I said this to him. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light. And we had a great conversation. But I want you to know this. 99.99% of the people in our body are never going to approach somebody like that. And I'm really, really glad. And I bet most of us here are never going to approach somebody like that. And I'm really, really glad in a culture where, remember I said, you know, we are in conflict with one another. And what I learned while riding my bike and from Peter in 1 Peter 3:15 is a couple other keys to opening doors for conversations, okay? And the first key I want to say is this. We are people who take Jesus seriously. If you're taking notes, please write those three words down. That we take Jesus seriously. Now, I know a lot of y'all are in Bible college. I was talking to somebody here who said, I came here because I wanted to get to know Jesus more. Hooray for you, Colin. Way to go. And I want to tell you, Colin, and I want to tell everybody here that I hope if you walk out of here and you can only walk out of here, this school, with one thing, Colin, that you would walk out with what you told me, and in my words, I'll put it this way, that you take Jesus seriously. Here's why I say that. I want you to notice a word here in 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, what's the word in your Bible there? What do you got in your Bible? Honor, sanctify. It's the idea of this, that you place a value on something. That you make it really important. That you spend time with it. And you know what? The things we put a value on, you honor Christ as holy. You say, yes, you are set apart and you're going to be the most important thing, even in my coming to school here, that it is a value. And you know what you do? You talk about those things, right? So I want to tell you about my bike here. This bike is a custom-built bike that was built in Arkansas by Allied Bike Company. I'm on a cycling team with 20 other guys, and I call myself the old mascot. Most of the time, I'm getting dropped. So, Christopher, you were right in saying I'm a decent cyclist. Now, last year, we approached this company, and they agreed to give us a deal on our bike. Now, any of you who ride bikes, you know that any person who's ever serious about cycling and has bought a bike, you always get a deal on it, okay? You never paid too much money for it. So this particular bike, when our team was ordering these bikes, first we designed the color. Are we going to make it blue? Are we going to make it black? Our team is this blue. Let's do a black-blue fade with a little fleck in the paint there that might show up here in these nice lights. And then we start talking about, what kind of wheels are you going to get? Are you going to get custom wheels made by Johnny Jones in California? Are you going to get some wheels that are just off the shelf? And then we started talking about the drivetrain. Are you going to get Shimano or SRAM? And will it be mechanical or electronic shifting? And then we talked about our brakes. Are you going to get disc brakes, which this bike has, or are you going to get just rim brakes? Y'all, we got really fluent at being able to talk about the thing we valued, we honored, and we spent a lot of money on. And I want to ask you, is there something about your relationship with Jesus that you have spent so much time and effort and energy and resources that out of that you've become very fluent? Whether anyone has ever trained you to go through a 2, 3, or 4-point outline of the gospel. You know, I spent hours on this bike. We went from Santa Monica, California to Annapolis, Maryland in 33 days, about 90 miles a day. And I was on and off this bike all day, every day. And I learned that this bike actually is really stable, that it brakes really well. And I want to know, can I just talk about Jesus? Because I've honored him, Christ is holy in my heart. Can I talk about him and say, you know, Jesus, here's how Jesus is real in my life. When he says stop, I stop. You know, I found that Jesus is really, he is the stabilizing force in my life. We are fluent about what we honor and value. I want to say one more thing from Peter about this idea of taking Jesus seriously. He says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that's in you. So I'm talking about honor and hope. Peter says, you got to be ready to make this defense. Now, the word there is the word we get, apologetics. When I was first coming to know Jesus, having those conversations in the dorm at LSU, I knew that if Jesus was over there and I was here, we were this huge distance apart, and that my lifestyle wasn't anything like what I thought it was going to be to follow Jesus because I knew enough of the Bible. But I wanted to know, is the Bible true? Is it accurate? Because I know this is going to be a big change for me. So I started reading some books by a guy named Josh McDowell. Do y'all know, anybody know Josh McDowell's name? He wrote these books, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Apologetics. I want you to know what Peter's talking about here. This is not the kind of apologetics Peter's talking about. Peter's talking about this. The apologetic that comes out of your heart. That you've taken Jesus seriously long enough, consistently enough. That when you go out and you're getting really fluent about Jesus, one of the things you're really fluent about is hope. That in the nitty-gritty places of your life, when you are struggling in school, somehow the hope of Jesus is a real thing for you. When you're struggling to pay for school, when you're struggling to say, yes, I'm a believer. You know what's interesting about Peter? The context is what? He writes to believers who are scattered throughout the whole Roman Empire. You know, before you think it's too risky or too scary to have conversations with people about Jesus today, I want to remind you that those believers, they were scattered, had nothing. And I'm sure people weren't looking at them and saying, oh, you're so awesome, tell us about Jesus. But is there a hope that you have to talk about from the real places in your life? So we are in Lexington, Virginia. It's the home of a campus, William and Lee. We were on the main street there overlooking at a restaurant eating. It was kind of late in the day, and I said, come on, y'all, let's go. We need to have some discussions with some students on that campus. We had a professional filmmaker with us. He comes around. We had this big van with us. And all of a sudden, people started lining up to talk to us. We could not get out of there. And Wes, who came with us, he was having a conversation with someone. I was talking to this guy from Alaska, 25 years old. At the end of the time, he says, hey, I'm going to read the stories of Jesus. My wife was talking to a lady and her son. Here's a picture of Amanda. Now, my wife had been talking to Amanda, And I said, come on, okay, we got to go. And my wife, Vila, comes up to me and she says, you need to go talk to Amanda. And I looked at her and said, why do I need to talk to Amanda? You just talk to her. I'm not here to have conversations about Jesus with everybody. And my wife says to me, Neil, she has been waiting 45 minutes to talk to her. You're going to talk to her. And I said, yes, ma'am. So I go talk to Amanda. And Amanda's an adventurer. And y'all, here's what I would tell everybody. I want to be kind, curious, and respectful. I want to hear your story. And almost every time it would lead to a conversation about Jesus, and Amanda's talking about being an adventurer. And the next thing you know, Amanda starts opening up her heart about feeling disconnected from God. Why do you think that's so? She says this, well, I found my mother in her bed after committing suicide. Dead. And so the only thing I can think is, wow, how do I bring some hope here? And so I'm thinking about the questions I would ask myself. So I asked Amanda, I said, Amanda, what's your hope? What's your dream? And I thought she was taking me off course a little. She said, Neil, I feel like I also got disconnected from my art. And I believe God gave me that gift, so I'm leaning into that, just affirming that. And at the end of the time, I said, Amanda, I had this idea. And I pulled out a ESV journaling Bible, just the book of Mark, story of Jesus. Every other page is blank, so you can take notes, write questions, or draw a picture. I'm explaining this to Amanda. I said, Amanda, you know what I think? Maybe you could start reconnecting with God through Jesus. And you could read the story of Jesus, and you could write a picture or take a note. She sees the thing. Her eyes light up. She goes, I'm going to do that. So we pray, I think, and take a little picture. I'm walking away. I said, wait, Amanda, one more thing. When you draw your first picture, would you send it to me? I've been home 1 month, and I get this picture from Amanda of this rose. Just a conversation on a day just traveling across the country. And Amanda and I have continued to connect. One key to having a conversation about Jesus, besides boldness, is taking Jesus seriously. Now, obviously, having a conversation involves another person, so I want to give you another key. Take people seriously. Okay? You know, I got asked another student why they were here. And she told me, because people wanted me here. She's here because some people took her seriously. Peter gives us two words to help frame this idea of what does it mean to take people seriously. He says, you honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that's in you, yet you do it with, what's your words? Gentleness and respect. Okay, I'll tell you, I want to just sneak an extra one in here. There's a picture here of Jeffrey, okay? Next picture. Jeffrey is a Native American of the Laguna tribe. I am so thankful that I had the privilege of speaking to several Native Americans of four different tribes early on in the trip because they made sure, without even knowing it, they made sure that I was going to take seriously people and do it with gentleness and respect. Because when you talk to Native Americans, I had not had the opportunity to have extended conversations before, and I could just see the walls going up. They were afraid of me as a white man because of their history. I will say this. You see that piece of pottery Jeffrey's holding? At the end of a conversation where we just pulled into his house, he gave that handmade piece of Laguna pottery to me and to our team as a gift. So, we take people seriously. Gentleness. Let's talk about gentleness. Gentleness, let's be clear, is not about not having any power. It's not about not having an agenda. It's not about not having a message that says we believe Jesus is the only name under heaven by which men must be saved. It's about power that's under control for the good of others. It's about a power and a message and an agenda that's under control for the good of others. So I'm riding my bike along, and I see about 150 feet from the road this house, and there's a lady standing on her porch, and the whole team's passing me by, and I say, hey, wait, I want to go have a conversation. Right here, I pull my bike in, and now I want to show you a picture of Tamika. Okay, that's Tamika. So let's state the obvious. Tamika is black, and I'm white. Tamika is young, and I am old. I look really old in that picture. Tamika is a woman, I'm a man, and I'm a man dressed as a mammal, okay? Remember, we talked about that. Tamika's eyes are about this big. She's afraid, okay? So I remember, okay, I've got to be really gentle here, and I remember just making sure I didn't get too close to Tamika so I didn't freak her out. I said to Tamika, our little spill, but want to be here, kind, curious, respectful, having some conversations about Jesus. And Tamika says, I don't really have time. And I said, would you give us 7 minutes as we're making this documentary here? She goes, okay, but I don't have a lot of time. Okay. So next thing you know, we're sitting down on our porch, and you can see I'm really being gentle because I'm holding her yappy dog. Don't tell her I said that. She had these two dogs, and trust me, I really was having to exercise some gentleness with that dog. So Tamika and I start talking. About 10 minutes into this 7-minute conversation, Tamika says this. Can I tell you one more story? Now, I was feeling a little tension because Tamika was really flat. And I was just kind of trying to be gentle and remain flat with her. And I'm thinking, our filmmaker here is not going to be very excited about this conversation. But I didn't care. And he did tell me after, yeah, it wasn't going too well in his idea. And so after 10 minutes, Tamika says, can I tell you another story? She says, the reason I was gathering up papers when you walked up, I was looking for one paper because I actually quit my job. Because I'm an MSW, and I work with special needs children. And when I was working at that job, there was a woman who was my supervisor, and she continued to treat me poorly. And I said, hey, Tamika, wow, I'm feeling some heat from you now. And she said, well, wouldn't you have if you had experienced that kind of racism? And I took a breath. And I said, Tamika, I'm sorry that you experienced that kind of treatment from someone who looks like me. Would you forgive me? And Tamika and I had a great talk that day about Jesus, about the church, about some really weird stuff that she experienced in church, about her desire to pop in Dallas sometime and come to our church. You know, there was this key that when I was in college, it was the only key I knew, was boldness. I will tell you, that moment of gentleness, taking people seriously with Tamika, opened up a door with her. Let me go places that I would have never gone with simply boldness. I want to say one more thing here. Peter helps us think about what does it mean to take people seriously. He says, with gentleness and respect. The word there, respect, behind that word is a word that we often translate as fear. It's a word that's used to talk about fearing God. You know, I love that picture, Moses or Abraham. You know, take off your shoes. The place you're walking, standing, is holy ground. And one of the things that, again, Jeffrey and my Native American friends that I made just helped me think about is when I walk into a person's life, I'm walking on holy ground. And they really believe that, right? When you're walking on their land, when I'm walking into a person's life, I'm walking on holy ground. So I pull up this hill. I'm riding along, and I see this guy. We'll go to the next slide here. He's got this RV. He's cleaning a bike, and I was going to pass it by because my team at this point was getting very aggravated with me. It was late in the day, and they weren't getting enough sleep. They were like, why do you keep having conversations till late at night? And so I was going to just pass it by, and somebody said, Neil, there's a conversation. So, boom, I used my disc brakes, my good handling bike here, made a sharp right turn, and I pull up to talk to this guy and tell him, you know, we're being curious, kind of respectful. We're just making this documentary, talking to people about what they value, what they care about, even their spiritual life. And he says, sure, let me go warn my wife that you're here so she can brush her hair before she comes out. So they come out, and immediately they start just ushering us into the holy ground of their life. Within 2 minutes, they both say, we've both been divorced, and we married each other about 3 years ago. We decided this is how we wanted to live, so we sold everything we have. And we are not wealthy people. We live frugally. They're telling me all this stuff. She tells me that she had grown up in a Baptist background and had totally just walked away from all of that. And we talked to a lot of people who had left the church, people my age, very interesting. And so I'm thinking, okay, here's a place to connect with her. They told me this thing that I've heard many times, out here is our church, you know. And I said to her, isn't it amazing to think that Jesus created all this and that he's holding it all together by the word of his power? And she did this. Big sigh, big eye roll. And you know what it was like? It was like she was, if I'd been standing at their physical front door, their house, it was like she was closing the door. And you know what I did? I just backed off out of respect. And I started talking to him about what was on his heart. He started talking to me about the poverty and pain in rural America that we had both seen. And a friend of mine who's a pastor who was at our church for a time and now in another state came with us that day, and he challenged me. Why didn't you challenge her? And I said, because I wasn't invited in. And I wouldn't, if I was at her physical house, I wouldn't have pushed back on that door, right? As I was getting ready to leave that day, I addressed something that she had said to me at the very beginning. My elbow was bleeding because the start of that day, we are late into the trip, nerves are on edge, and I fall over on my bike in the parking lot before we left that day. And I'm bleeding, and I'm kind of grumpy, and I didn't say anything to anybody. I just said, come on, let's go. And people are like, you're going to bandage your elbow, Neil? And I'm like, no, come on, let's go. So I'm bleeding for about 5 hours. When I first pulled up, she wanted to take care of this, and I ignored her. Didn't respect her. So before we left, I said, hey, would you take care of my elbow? It was like she opened the door wide open. She goes, hold on. She runs into her RV, gets her medical kit, and man, she took care of me like I was her son. And I told my friend, the best thing that happened in that conversation was me respecting her enough to say, you can care for me today. Conversations about Jesus. Boldness is an important key, but you know, in Peter, taking this ride, helped me see that two other keys are taking Jesus seriously and taking people seriously. Now, I'm going to close here with a video, and I want to be realistic here. We started this trip because the survey that my church took, seeing what's going on in the world of Christendom and in the United States, our church launched a 7-year vision, the beginning of this year, that goes like this. We will be having thousands of surprisingly easy-to-start conversations about Jesus all over our city. Because we are convinced where God has us is where Jesus is. Thousands, surprisingly easy to start conversations. We're convinced where God has us is where Jesus is. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everywhere you go, by the way, y'all, people get to taste, touch, experience Jesus in some way if you're willing. So this surprisingly easy to start conversations doesn't mean they're always easy, right? I had people who wouldn't talk to me. I had this atheist who was so angry with me. But I want you to know there were times, even in the New Testament, we read where God's people who were going out with the message had favor, even with people who did not agree with them. So I want to close by looking at a video I made for our church. I had a conversation with a lady named Diane, in a hotel lobby. Her daughter was the manager, and she just happened to be there when we came in. And a conversation with a guy named Mark, who was riding his bike the other way across the country. So let's watch.
Diana, you mentioned religion. And I have really wanted to press in with people on issues that we're afraid to talk about, assuring people I would be kind and respectful. What does that have to do with any of this for you? What is there any of that?
So shockingly, I don't look like the average Muslim, but I am Muslim. And I've had people say things to me because they don't know that I'm Muslim. And I, you know, negative things towards Islam because of what's in the news every day. Mm-hmm. And there are extremists in every religion.
So how long were you in the military, Mark?
It was 12 years.
12 years. How did that impact you coming out of that? What did you think?
That's a heavy question.
That is a heavy question. I like asking heavy questions, you know.
Well, I was medically retired.
Okay.
For a traumatic brain injury. Did an explosive ordnance disposal. So my bell got rung so many times that my brain would just shut off every once in a while.
Where were you doing that?
Two deployments to Iraq and two to Afghanistan.
Wow. Thanks, man. Gosh. So some people see all that crazy stuff and it causes them to believe in God. Some people see that stuff and they like, man, if God exists, I don't want any part of it. Some people think, no way. What did that do for you, Mark, and that whole idea?
Coming from a pastor, I feel like just giving me another loaded question.
I told you I'm full of them. And you know what, Mark? Hey, let me say this. I really want your opinion. I'm just curious.
I don't share y'all's beliefs. I respect them. But I've had plenty enough close calls, and I do believe in something spiritual out there. I don't know what it is, because there's been many times we're on a mission for no reason at all. I knew something was up. I knew something wasn't right before we even went out on the mission. Someone got badly hurt, someone got killed. And so I got better and better at trusting those instincts. And I don't know if I ever actually avoided something, but I know there's definitely something greater than us out there. But I don't believe in the Christian faith.
You know, I actually enjoyed talking to Diana and Mark. And I struggle with how far to go, how much do I push an issue. But more than anything, I wanted to open up a dialogue with them, show them that they could have a conversation about spiritual things and Jesus. And I want you to hear their responses at the end of the time. Although we didn't necessarily agree on our views of God and faith and Jesus himself.
I think what you're doing right now is a great thing of getting out and talking and listening to people. I really do believe that regardless of someone's faith or opinion or origin, the best thing you can do for another human is to listen. Listen with
all the intent
of changing their mind and just trying to understand where they're coming from.
And here's one thing that I do notice, and doing it across country is really awesome. We all have to get up in the morning and we all have to put our pants on the same way, one leg at a time. And we all have to go out to our jobs. We all have to support our families. Even my children are grown now. I still have to help them. And if we could all just go back to that more simplistic way of thinking, you know, it's not being simple-minded. It's just, let's go back to the basics and remember how people used to help each other and go from there and build something better.
I'm praying for us as a church that in 7 years, we are going to have thousands of surprisingly easy to start conversations all over our city, because we are convinced where God has us is where Jesus is.
Amen. Well, let's give the Lord a hand for Pastor Neil. Thank you for coming, sir. Appreciate you being here with us. And I want to close this out. I just want to ask a couple questions, and then we're going to pray and we'll be dismissed. How many of you today would say the Lord has laid on your heart that we could all use a little more boldness and intentionality in how we live our lives for the Lord? Yes, many of us. How many of you would say that God has impressed on your heart today that there is room in our life that we might value Jesus more? Raise your hand. That we might value people more? Raise your hand. And this has been a good day, because we can leave here today with what we've considered, what we've thought about, and we can leave with a prayer that God would make those things a reality in our life. We'll also pray for Northwest Bible, that those conversations continue to come easily, and that you guys are able to accomplish the vision that God's put on your heart. So let's pray together toward that end, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. Thank you for Pastor Neil. Pray that you would bless him in his ministry at Northwest Bible, that you would also honor the vision you've given him to have all these thousands of conversations right where they are, to open up dialogue with people, to discuss matters of faith, spirituality, with the prayer, I'm sure, on their part that they can introduce them to your son. And so, Father, we thank you for those opportunities. Thank you that the Holy Spirit will guide those encounters, that he is already now doing work on the other side of those conversations in those individuals to plow up the hardness of their heart, to get them ready to receive the seed of the gospel that can take root and change their lives. And I pray for us as we leave today that we would be more intentional about what we do, be more bold in what we do, that we would value Jesus more than anything, that we would value people and take the time to open our mouths and our hearts and have those conversations. And Lord, we've just been encouraged today, so we want to thank you for that and pray that you would just continue to work through this message and allow us to become the type of people you have called us to be. It's in Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen. We're dismissed.